Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
I want to talk to you guys today about abiding in Christ. So if you've got your Bible, open up to John 15. This is where we're mainly going to be today. And so John 15, reading verses 1 through 11. I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just acknowledge your presence here today, Father God. I thank you that you are here in this room, Lord. God, I just pray, Father, that you would teach us today what it means to abide in you, Jesus. God, I pray that you would open our ears to hear, Lord. You would open our eyes to see, Father, what you are doing today, God. And I just pray, Lord, that each person here, Father, would receive a revelation, Lord, of what it means to abide. And we just give this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Jesus promised that abiding in him would lead to us bearing fruit, and that through that fruit, God would be glorified and we would prove to be his disciples. But for that to happen, we must remain in the true vine, that is Jesus. Verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Life comes from the vine. In viticulture, which is the study and science of growing grapes, The vine and the root is what transfers water and nutrients to the branches. And obviously that is what gives a branch life. They can't survive without the water and the nutrients. When the branch is not connected to the vine, it doesn't have life and it cannot bear fruit. It's literally just a branch. And the same goes for us in our walk with God. When we are not connected to him, we don't have life. We don't bear fruit. Jesus says in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's the truth. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. We just exist. If we want to live a spirit-led life, abiding is not optional. But we don't abide for the sole purpose of bearing fruit. That's not our heart posture into going into abiding with the Lord. We don't go in saying, I'm going to abide so I can bear fruit. Jesus tells his disciples in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Our abiding should come from a place of love, not from legalism. Our abiding should not come from a place of performance. It shouldn't come from a place of works. It should come from a place of love. Our abiding comes from how much we love the Lord, how much we love the Father because of what he's done for us, how much we love him because of how much he loves us. In 1 John 4:19, it says, we love because he first loved us. And 1 John 4:16 says, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. It's when we know and when we believe in this love that God has for us that we are drawn into loving him. That is the kind of love that pulls us in when we truly understand, when we have that revelation of, God, you loved me so much. You love me so much that you sent your one and only son to die on the cross for me. That is how much you love me. It's from that place of love. That is the love that pulls us in, and that is the love that leads us to abide. Do you know how much Jesus loves you? Do you truly know? Have you had a revelation of the Father's love for you, of how much he loves you as his child? Did you know that if you were the only person left on planet Earth, Jesus still would have hung on that cross for you? So what does it look like practically to abide in Christ? 1 John 2, 1 John 2, verses 5 and 6 says, "But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And we see throughout Jesus' time on earth how he abided in the Father and how he was in relationship with the Father. It says in John 14, he says, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." And so we can look at Jesus as a perfect example of what it means to abide. And so firstly, Jesus knew the word of God and he obeyed it. Jesus knew the word of God, and it wasn't from a place of head knowledge knowing, it was in his heart. When Jesus was in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, the enemy comes to tempt him, and Jesus fights back with "it is written." And the enemy came to fight him with scripture, but it's because Jesus knew the word and he had it in his heart that he knew the enemy was twisting it and he was taking it out of context, and he was actually able to fight back and say and declare, "No, it is written." Jesus understood the word that he was declaring. Abiding means knowing the word and living from it. Psalm 119:11 says, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Knowing the word as head knowledge is one thing, but having it stored up in our hearts is another. Storing the word in our hearts leads to us living a life of obedience to the word. And that is when we know we are abiding. That is the fruit that comes from it. And so secondly, Jesus lived a life of perfect obedience and surrender to the Father. Through his abiding, Jesus was solely dependent on his Father. In John 5:19, Jesus says to his disciples, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." Jesus lived a life of surrender to the Father. He did nothing independently. And so abiding in Christ is knowing that we can do nothing when we are apart from him. It is knowing that when we are not dependent on him, we cannot bear fruit in our own strength. And from this place, we live a life of surrender. That is how we are called to surrender. I recently learnt this lesson the hard way. The last few months, I had some external factors in life that led me to being really stressed, and I honestly stopped abiding in the Lord. I ran to the comfort of like social media and movies and all these things, and I honestly I stopped abiding in the Lord. And it was like truly a few months where I truly understood the revelation of apart from him, I can do nothing. And it was from that place where I was like, oh my gosh, I literally feel like the dead branch that John 15 talks about. And it was from that place of like, oh my gosh, Lord, I really cannot do anything apart from you. And Lord, I'm not bearing fruit when I am not abiding in you. It was from that place that the Holy Spirit then drew me back into once again, surrender to the Lord. And so abiding in him means letting go of doing things in our own strength and giving our will and our desires to him. But it doesn't mean that we can't wrestle things out with the Lord. It's not just saying to go and live a life of surrender and then never ask any questions and just, yeah, whatever, just obey the Lord fully. We should do that. But where am I? True relationship is pouring our heart out to God and giving him our all. It doesn't mean that we can't wrestle it out with him. Jesus, before he was taken away to be crucified, in Luke 22 says to God, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." When we abide in Jesus and we stay remaining in him, we are allowing him to help us through the wrestle. And that is where obedience comes out of, is actually abiding in him and going through the wrestle by abiding with him. That's where obedience comes from. Now, so obviously Jesus was perfect and he did not sin. And so he is a perfect example for us, but we're human and we are not perfect. And whilst living a spirit-led life does look like being made more Christ-like from a place of abiding, we aren't going to get it right all the time. But that doesn't mean we suddenly stop abiding when we slip up. We can trust that we are remaining even when we fall short because Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit. As I was preparing for this sermon, I was reading some commentary and I read something from David Guzik that I really liked and I just want to share it. He said, "First, it is the Spirit of God in us that is the abiding presence of Jesus. The presence of his Spirit is how he abides in us. Secondly, it is the testimony of the Holy Spirit within us that makes it possible for us to know that we abide in him. As Paul puts it in Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit gives us this assurance." And in John 14, 26, Jesus says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." The Holy Spirit is our helper. He is the one that teaches us to abide. He is the one that calls us back in when we do step out, when we stop abiding for a moment. He is the one who calls us back in and says, "No, come back and abide, come back." And he brings to remembrance the word of God. He helps us surrender. Through the Spirit, we abide in Jesus the vine, and that is when we bear fruit. But also, and obviously in John 15, Jesus talks about abiding coming with pruning. In John 15, 2, it says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." And this is something they do in viticulture as well. Branches that have produced fruit one season will then be pruned or stripped back so that they will produce even more fruit in the next season. And so when we abide in Jesus, it's going to happen. We're going to go through seasons of pruning. But it's important to remember, pruning is not a punishment. Pruning is not a punishment. Pruning is essential for our growth. When a branch is pruned, it isn't removed from the vine. We must remember that when God is pruning us, we are not removed from him. But obviously, pruning is not always easy. Pruning can hurt. Pruning can be painful. And this is where abiding can become hard. When we bear fruit, it's easy to remain in him. But what happens when we are no longer bearing fruit? What happens when the Lord begins to strip us back? In many ways, it's easy to run from the pruning and run to the things of the world that comfort us. But the Greek word for abide is meno, and it means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy, to abide, to continue, to dwell, to endure, to be present, to remain, to stand, and to tarry. And so abiding is a choice. And when we come to these seasons of pruning, we actually have a choice. Am I going to choose to remain? Am I going to choose to endure and to stay abiding in Christ and actually abide long enough that I actually let him do the pruning in my life? Not because it is a punishment, not because I have done anything wrong, but because through abiding in Christ and through living a Spirit-led life, we're called to be more Christ-like and to be transformed into his likeness. And so that's the choice that we need to make. We need to choose to remain. We need to choose to abide. And this is once again where the Holy Spirit helps us. He is our comforter. We must choose to abide in Jesus and to allow the Holy Spirit to give us comfort rather than in the things of the world. And so my encouragement to you today is to choose to abide. Don't wait. Jesus is coming back soon. Like I said before, when I was going through these last few months and I was choosing to not abide in the Lord, I kept putting off my surrender. I was like, no, it's okay. Like I'll surrender next week, or I'll just, you know, get my last bit of comfort out or whatever, and then I'll surrender later on. But can I tell you that it was not worth it? And choosing to abide in Jesus and surrendering your life to him is worth more than anything that this world could offer you. Run to him. You don't need to clean yourself up. He's waiting for you. And that's the beautiful thing about Jesus. He never leaves us. Even when we step away, even when we stop abiding, he is waiting for us to choose to abide again. And so I just want to leave you some questions to reflect on and to take up with the Lord. And then I'm going to pray, and then Jade's going to come up and do the next part. But am I living a Spirit-led life by abiding in Jesus? Where am I abiding from? Is it from a place of love, or is it from something else? And what is my heart posture when the Lord takes me through seasons of pruning? Will I choose to abide in him even when it seems hard? So Jesus, I just thank you, Father, for what you are doing here today in this room, Lord. God, I thank you, Father, that it is actually our privilege and it is our joy, Father, to remain in you, to abide in you, Jesus. And God, I just pray, Father, that even when it gets hard, Lord, even when the pruning begins, Father, that you would help us to remain in you, God, that you would teach us to abide in you. And Lord, I even just pray, Father, for a revelation of your love, a revelation, Father, of how much you love us, Lord, that that would draw us in to abide in you, Jesus. So we just love you, Lord. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I need my water. Hello. Good Good evening, family. My name is Jade. I'm the second part of this tag team preach. And I'm so honored to be sharing with family. How incredible did Amy do sharing about abiding? She lives it, so we're very blessed to hear the overflow of that. Hey, abiding by the Spirit goes hand in hand with worship. And so we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, worship, tonight and for the next few moments. It's very important to the Lord. A few weeks back, Pastor Sam, incredible man of God, actually preached on worship. So if you want to dive deep into what worship is from the Word of God, I really encourage you to go back and listen to that, because we're not going to cover it all here tonight, but we're gonna get somewhere. So join me in turning to John 4, verse 20 to 24. And while you flick there, I'm going to set the scene. I'm a bit of a storyteller. Any of my friends know I love a good story. So Jesus is with his disciples and they're traveling around declaring the kingdom of God. And there comes a point where Jesus says, or well, he doesn't say, but he probably told his disciples, we have to go through Samaria. Now, the context of that time is Samaritans and Jews had nothing to do with each other, enemies. Jesus was Jewish. So pretty odd in that context for Jesus to have to go through Samaria, a place that was often avoided. And so now we come, Jesus is sitting at a well outside of Samaria, I'm assuming, and the disciples have gone in to go and buy food. And here comes along this Samaritan woman, a woman of Samaria. Again, in that time, very unusual for Jesus to even engage with her, but he does, because he's Jesus and he's epic like that. He loves everyone, he engages with everyone, right? Read it through all scripture, you can't miss it, he loves. And he starts engaging with her about a conversation about water, because she's there to draw water. Anyway, they're talking, and Jesus gives her a word of knowledge about her relationship history and her status. And from that, obviously Jesus did it so well because he's love. And she goes, I perceive you are a prophet. Now, what does she do? She begins to approach Jesus and talk to him about worship. Why is that? Is because it was very important in that context, but still important today. And so we actually really need to know what God says about worship, being led by his Spirit in worship. So let's pick up the conversation there. This is the woman starting in verse 20 or continuing. She says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is a place where people ought to worship. Note here that she's talking about a place of worship. Jesus said to her, woman's endearing, believe me, I just want to point that out, it's not woman, believe me, the hour is coming in when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father, underline Father here if you're taking notes. You worship what you do not know, we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, because Jesus is here, was there, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Underline must, because that's a requirement. We're going to come back to that. I love Jesus so much. And one of the things I really love about him is that he's always really clear. Even when he gives us parables, he's still clear. There's no confusion in Christ. And so even tonight, I believe as we've talked about abiding and worship, confusion is gone around those areas because they're not complicated. We can really complicate things in our flesh. Side note, I've done it. And the Lord's been talking to me about this all year. So, worship, not complicated. Not complicated. It's very clear. In verse 24, Jesus says that God is spirit, and therefore we must worship in spirit and in truth. In fact, we can't worship God properly if it is not in spirit and in truth. Worship in this passage, the word that they use here is proskuneo. It literally means to bow down, to lower oneself, to kiss towards. It's almost a physical thing, but it's an act of reverence. And Jesus is saying here, you can't actually do that unless it's in spirit and in truth. Side note, you could actually worship something else. But God's saying worship, worship that belongs to Him. True worship is in this way, spirit and truth. Yeah. To worship in spirit, pneuma, is by the empowerment and help of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. It's spirit to spirit. Why is it spirit to spirit? Because the realm of God is spirit. He is spirit. So we must worship in spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to do that. Again, this defines the relationship between the worshiper, which is us, you and I, and the one who is worthy of worship and to be glorified. Yeah. Worship rightfully belongs to Him, and we need to do it in a way that He desires. Yeah. To worship in truth means simply this: authentic and genuine, real. Real. See, I could actually bow down and be like, this ain't real. It's just true. But by the Spirit and in truth, we can worship God in a way that He desires. True and proper worship that is pleasing to God. Our whole lives in spirit and in truth. Verse 21. Again, Jesus is so kind. Do you remember how I said, well, we read that the woman was caught up about a place? Now, Jesus is so kind. Instead of responding to her practical thing, but it must be this way, this ritual, this specific way to be pleasing, He responds to her in love and He says, we're worshiping the Father. He points her to who? He points her to the one who we're worshiping. He begins to reveal the who in that equation, which is the defining factor of worship in this case and in all cases. Jesus highlights that we're worshiping the Father. That's a very specific kind of relationship, if you ask me. He didn't use God. Again, He's intentional, right? He says, Father, worshiping the Father. So that tells me that you and I are to approach God in our worship in spirit and truth as sons and daughters. Wow. Made possible by Jesus, because now is the time. He actually says it now. Now is coming the hour. And I love that. Galatians 4:6 talks about how by the Holy Spirit we cry out, Abba, Father. I'm so grateful that it's not hard. It's by His Spirit. So worship is less about the how and the where or how we do it. In fact, worship is not limited to song and lyric, although those are beautiful ways to worship the Lord. I love worshiping the Lord in song and lyric. I really do. But if that was the only thing that I define worship as, then what Jesus says about, what the word says about our whole lives being living sacrifices as worship, pleasing to God, true and proper worship in Romans 12:1 wouldn't be true. Wouldn't be true. I love my husband. He's a good man. If you've met him, I know a lot about him. It's true. I don't know how he likes his eggs. I don't like it how he likes it. But we have a one-on-one relationship. And besides the Father, I'd say I know him second best. But I know a lot about him and I want to know a lot about him and I want to know what he likes because I love him and I value him. I love him and I value him. And I want him to be happy or to be joyful. Let's use that word. I like it better. So in the same way, in our relationship with the Father and in worship, we need to know Him so that we can respond in a way that pleases and delights Him because we value Him. And worship, the way we worship, actually gives Him value and worth. So it's really important that we do it the way that He asks. And that makes it really easy for us. And that's where we have the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read from John 14, 16 to 17 real quick for y'all. It says this. This is Jesus talking. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus went so that we could have the person of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Not next to us, in us. So we become the dwelling place of the Spirit. That wherever we go, whatever we do, our lives as living sacrifices, the whole being can be worship. It's no longer defined to even this building. It's kind of insane, because then my whole life when I go to work is worship. It means when I go to the shops and how I treat the person at the register is worship to the Lord. How I pick up my rubbish or put my rubbish in the bin on the streets when I'm walking around, that's worship because I'm honoring my environment. Small thing, but it actually matters. It really matters. So I'm so grateful that you and I can have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us because of Jesus. I'm so grateful that because the Holy Spirit dwells within us, he reveals the Father to us. He shows us and reminds us, like what Amy said, what the Lord said. And so we need to make room for that. We need to make room and partner with the Holy Spirit's work in us. How do we do that? Again, like Amy said, I love how she put it, the Word of God. Can I just say, the Lord can't bring back to memory something that wasn't there. So if you don't have the Word in you, he can't remind you because it's not there. Kind of hard, but it's kind of true. I don't know about you, but there are times I'm like, oh, man. And then I'm reminded, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So we need to make room for the Word of God to be in our lives. We need to make room and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the Father also through the secret place of prayer. Are you talking to your Father? I don't know. It doesn't sound like a really good relationship if you ain't having a conversation. Can you imagine if I went home and I just didn't talk to Christian for like multiple days on end? That's a pretty funky relationship. You better do Life Keys. I'm just saying. Same thing with your Father. Are you making room so that the Holy Spirit can speak to you and you can encounter the Father? We need to make room. We need to make room. Making room is a choice. Worship is a choice. Abiding is a choice. I'm going to invite the team up as well. How incredible are they? You can come and join me. I know, yeah, give them honor. We should, they're serving us tonight. That's really beautiful. Making room is a choice. Worship is a choice. You know, when we make room for the Lord, when we come before him and we see him, we can't help but respond. When I see the Lord, I can't help but respond because I've encountered the fullness of God so much that it helps me to worship him properly. That whole truth there as well. I mean, it's genuine because you can see the Lord and then you respond out of a genuine place of revelation. We need to choose to make room so that we have a revelation, and out of that, choose to worship. And he's so glorified in that. He's so glorified in that. The primary purpose of worship is to bless the Lord. First and foremost, worship is not for a fuzzy feeling. Although I like it and it does come, that is not the primary purpose. In fact, the primary purpose of worship is not even to bless those around us at all, although it will out of an overflow. It just happens when your life is worship. Worship is solely to bless the Lord. That's why we must do it in the way that he desires, in spirit and in truth. And it's crazy because out of that, you get transformed and you become more like Christ. Like what? As I commune and have a relationship with the Father and I worship him that way, I'm transformed. how kind is God? And that's that continual thing of, I see the Lord, I bless the Lord, I'm transformed. And then I see the Lord again in that, and I'm transformed, and I bless the Lord. It's a continual thing. It never ends, this communion, this worship, this place where we can come in spirit and truth. Christian and I went through a very particular season where we really had to choose to worship, to abide, to make room, to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to us, to allow the Holy Spirit's help to help us to worship in a way pleasing to the Lord with our whole lives. There were times where we were disappointed and grieved in this season, so much so to the point that in my flesh, it would have been really easy for me to walk away. And it really is, it's just the truth. But I remember one particular week, and it's the prayer I prayed throughout that season, and still the prayer I'll pray throughout all my days, I hope, and I'm sure I will. I remember Christian and I, we were praying about a certain breakthrough in our lives. And I remember listening to some worship music. And I remember saying, Lord, even if I don't see it, would you help me to bless you and to worship you? Because I've seen you and I know you and I've encountered you and I can't help but worship you. And I remember in those moments that the help of the Holy Spirit would come and he would remind me of the testimonies of God and his promises. I remember the faithfulness of God in my own life. I remember the testimonies of those around me. I remember scripture and I'm like, I can't help but choose to worship the Lord. I can't help but respond in this way. I can't help but come to the Father. And I remember this one particular Sunday, we sat right over there and we were very disappointed. Very. And coming to church that Sunday was hard. Can I just say the Lord blesses when we come together. It's a blessing when you get to worship with brothers and sisters. It builds your faith, it really does. And in that moment, you know what? It was really hard for me to respond like this. It was really hard for me to show up. But I just remember standing there as we were worshiping together as a family, I just felt the whisper and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I remember in those moments as I was worshiping, I was declaring the goodness of God, even though I hadn't seen it in my natural circumstance yet. But I was declaring, I was choosing to worship. I was helped by the Holy Spirit. And I just was so overwhelmed by the loving kindness of my Father. I actually experienced the wildest thing, joy and grief. Joy and grief, wow. That's an overflow of worship in spirit and truth, because worship is not circumstantial, it's not a feeling, it's a choice, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the only way. And I genuinely meant my worship to the Lord because I've seen him over and over again.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realise that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.